Well, in the first half, I'll play a clip of the audiobook where I talk about Sid Croft, who's coming up. In the second half, talk to a very interesting guy named Michael Schwimmer, who came up with a very interesting new business I think you guys will be fascinated with. Take some calls, get into some hypothetical sex questions. We'll do that right after this. Well, I just want to tell you about a quick podcast study here. As you know by now, we all do our very best to align the right sponsors to the podcast. It's a lot of work behind the scenes, and I'm incredibly grateful for your support. We're currently running a quick survey at podcaststudy.com, and we're giving the first 150 people a $10 digital Amazon gift card as an incentive to complete the survey. The information we hear from you about our sponsors is incredibly important to the show, and we can't thank you enough for taking a few minutes to help us out. I mean, come on, it's free. Cut us a break. Upon completion of the survey, you'll be asked to include your email address, and we will send the first 150 people a $10 gift card from Amazon. Go to podcaststudy.com, and thank you again for helping our show and our sponsors.
I don't remember anything about that game. First of all, I was so pissed, but I was so drunk, too.
What's up, heroes? I'm Brendan Fitzgibbons.
And I'm Sophie Santos.
And we're the co-hosts of the new comedy sports podcast, Hammered Heroes.
On Hammered Heroes, we celebrate the best performances by professional athletes while they were hammered, on drugs, or horribly hungover.
Myself, Santana, and Sean, prior to the game, we would take a little shot.
Each week, we'll discuss a game or incident that focuses on an athlete's mind-blowing performance despite being extremely hammered.
Doc Ellis working on a no-hitter.
It was easier to pitch with the LSD. That's the way I was dealing with the fear of failure.
Think of it as Drunk History meets 30 for 30 meets Jackass.
We're going to have the best comedians, sports personalities, and even the Hammered Heroes themselves.
And then, we're even going to try and recreate some of these legendary performances.
Will we always be drunk? No.
Yes.
It's Hammered Heroes.
Available wherever you get your podcasts.
So the record was 73.
73 beers and a cross-country flight.
Yeah.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Sid Croft, and the founder of Big League Advantage, Michael Schwimmer. With Gina Grad on news and Vault Bryan on sound effects, and now, on a routine expedition, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The choice we're going to mandate should get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend about that about you, right, Gina Grant?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Meh, meh, meh. 2x4. Meh, meh, meh. Plywood. Meh, meh, meh.
That's such a good impression.
All right. Well, Sid Croft's coming in. Sid of Sid and Marty Croft. Very interesting story. I was reading up on him last night.
Does anyone else have anxiety?
Well, I have mixed feelings.
Well, listen.
Mostly excitement.
Give the devil his due. He's a successful man.
I have a supercut I've got drawn from over the years of Adam calling him a hack and just a
do
TV.
A deep dive on that.
It's 28 minutes long, so it's going to take up most of the segment.
Well, Sid and Marty Croft, Canadians. Mm-hmm. Which explains something to me, because their stuff, their comedy was off, but their color palette was interesting. Their costumes, their puppeteers.
Yes. In as much as Kids in the Hall was the weird cross-dressing version of SNL.
The best.
It lines up.
Yeah, and it struck me, I'm telling you, when my kids were young, they would watch Caillou, and I would just watch it with them going, something is off. And they're cartoons that are funny and cartoons that aren't funny, and then there's cartoons that are off.
Right.
And Caillou is off.
Yeah.
Color palette is weird. Shoes are weird.
Ah.
Do Canadians wear weird shoes?
And they have
tennis rackets on the bottom.
Okay.
They called for the snow. Yeah. They called people by strange titles. Everything was off. And then at one point, I realized it came out of Canada.
What did they say? Mummy?
It was like French-Canadian.
Okay.
And I was like, that's
Papa.
That's what I'm picking up on, not Hanna-Barbera.
Right.
Hanna-Barbera, some of it's okay, some of it's horrible, but anyway. So Sid and Marty Croft, these guys were Canadians. Sid was born in 1929.
Damn.
He's 93 years young. He's heard some of my critiques of his work.
You know what? That makes me feel better.
Over the years, and has decided in true Canadian fashion to come in anyway.
God bless this man.
Because he says he's a fan of mine. Now, we'll see if he is or not.
That's
but
after he's heard all the ways you have shat upon he and his ilk,
yes,
and to say he's a fan, I already love this man.
Listen, anyone who wants to come in and mix it up, I tip my hat to them.
Yeah.
Now, if he starts getting physically aggressive, Gina,
I'll be in the middle.
You need to run interference.
Don't worry.
For me. So we have look. They did all this. They were a major part of my childhood. My childhood was Hanna-Barbera and Sid and Marty Krofft. Those are kind of what we had. Hanna-Barbera has done their fair share of damage as well with Hong Kong Phooey and Jabba Jaw and all the Grape Ape and the Hair Bear Bunch. They completely copped out, and they were hacks as well. There were hacks on the animated side. Mm-hmm. Sid and Marty Krofft were hacks on the puppeteer.
Live action hacks.
And, you know, they had a big laugh track they would pile in. Many people thought they were experimenting with hallucinogens.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
rap was always like, these guys must be on something.
H.R. Puff and stuff.
But they always said, no, we're just weird Canadian dudes. He started off as a puppeteer.
I like it.
Did you say, Chris, that he opened for Judy Garland? Let's see. I have it.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Open for Judy Garland.
As a puppeteer. I got to see this double bill.
And Liberace as well.
Royalty.
Oh, my God. I love it.
Fast forward a few years, was on the phone with Michael Jackson when the first plane hit the tower on 9/11.
Oh, that Michael Jackson.
That sounds like an ad lib.
Yeah. Just crazy or mad. Is it Mad Lib?
Mad Lib. But you're putting in the crazy word.
Oh, sorry.
So either way, a long and storied and very interesting life. But somewhere he got hold of a 9-year-old Adam Carolla. And I dutifully watched. I watched A Sigmund and the Sea Monsters.
Well,
I watched H.R. Puffin stuff. I watched Land of the Lost. I watched Lidsville.
Oh, right. The singing the quartet with the at the Great America or whatever. The Six Flags. Is that what you're talking about?
No, Six Flags in Atlanta or something was where they, I think, where they did.
Or the banana something.
The banana splits.
Sorry.
They were involved with the banana splits as well. Interesting stuff that was visually interesting, but creatively bankrupt. But came up with the story of a land called Lidsville where everyone. He fell into the hat of Charles Nelson Reilly, who was the...
This isn't real.
Who was the...
Another Mad Lib.
Screwed this up. He was the Hoodoo Guru or the Guru Hoodoo
that we thought
or something.
Was a band.
There is a band called the Hoodoo.
The Hoodoo Gurus are a band. Yeah.
The Hoodoo Gurus
thought
are
they got it from this,
a band,
some other...
but they got it from somewhere else. But he was the Hoodoo Guru, and a little kid came behind stage and fell into a giant magician's hat and then fell through a porthole in time and ended up in a place where everyone had hats.
What a magical land!
Based on a true story?
Their hats. But I will play a clip from my audiobook from 2000 and, I don't know, 9, maybe 10. In 50 Years We'll All Be Chicks, where I address Sid Krofft.
Oh, boy.
2010.
Quick story. I was on the CBS lot last year, and we're walking to the stage where I was shooting my sitcom pilot. Somebody said, "There's Sid and Marty Krofft's office." Then, with a certain amount of pride, one guy said, "Marty's in there. Would you like me to introduce you to him?" I said, "No." He said, "Why not? The guy's a legend." I said, "A legendary hack." The guy stopped walking. He was shocked. He said, "Do you know how many shows Sid and Marty Krofft got on the air?" I said, "I know. Believe me, I watched them all when I was a kid. Far Out, Space Nuts, Land of the Lost. Nice job with that, Will Ferrell. That was a great idea. Let's take the fucking worst goddamn show of the 70s and make it into a $70 million feature. You're fucking genius. Great job. Awesome job. I'm so glad nobody saw that piece of shit." Sorry, where was I? Obviously, I'm passionate about these two dillweeds. Land of the Lost. Sigmund and the Sea Monsters. Artistically vacant, derivative, hackneyed garbage. Basically, a big bowl of styrofoam packing peanuts that came in a brightly colored box with a shitty prize in it. He said, how can you say that? The guy's a pioneer. He's 85 and still hard at work every day. I said, hard at work doing what? Warming over steaming piles of shit like the aforementioned Land of the Lost? So that a new generation's IQ can be collectively lowered while this imbecile hammers another check? Then he said, why are you so angry about Sid and Marty Croft? I said, because idiots like you are trying to turn guys like these into deities. They're rich. Isn't that enough? They came around during a time when there was no competition and monopolized Saturday mornings with shows like Sigmund and the Sea Monsters. One of the worst shows, nay, one of the worst creative endeavors ever undertaken. And they want respect? I'll give you two scenarios. One is, they actually thought they were artists, and that shit they were crapping out every Saturday morning was good, which makes them delusional hacks. Or two, as I suspect, they knew they were providing shit. They knew the checks would clear, and they didn't give a fuck, which would make them evil hacks. Either way, you watch an episode of Far Out Space Nuts and tell me if the label legend applies. If I'm sitting on a lot somewhere 40 years from now, and you go, oh, hey, there's old man Carolla. Give him a ton of respect. He came up with Crank Yankers in the Man Show. And then you go, well, what's he working on now? Crank Yankers in the Man Show. 50 years later, of course you don't have a crate of bone in your fucking body. You're trying to warm over shit that sucked in the 70s. And now I'm supposed to tip my cap to you. Hey, it's Far Out Space Nuts, the movie. It's Sigmund the Sea Monsters movie. And they are going to do those. You know they're going to fucking do those. And those fucking asswipes aren't even working on anything. Just trying to fucking squeeze a piece of shit to see if they can get another nickel out of it. Fuck you guys. You're rich enough. Go home and die already. Before you poison my kids with your shit. I'd rather have my kids just stare at Christ in urine than fucking hear any Grape Apes or Far Out Space Nuts. They'd be better off.
Sid, we're really excited about you coming in.
I'm looking forward to it.
Oh my God, I'm sweating.
But he is, by all accounts, a sweet man and an accomplished guy, you know.
He joined the circus when he was a teenager.
He made puppets and he opened for Judy Garland.
I'm sold.
All right, so we'll hear his long and storied career.
On the Land of the Lost Wikipedia page, the film, there's a section for awards, all Razzies, nominated for 8 Razzies that year.
Again, there are certain things that we recognize, like Bugatti made all the finest automobiles in the world in the 20s and 30s, and then the Bugatti kind of went away. Mm-hmm. But there's brand value to it. You go, that's a fine, you know, let's bring back the Bugatti. And now there is a modern day Bugatti making super cars that are of the standard of Bugatti. So I get the part where you go, well, we can do some commerce because people heard of this Gucci or Bugatti or whatever. There's a place for it now. But I don't get things like malaria and the Holocaust. You know, it's like, yes.
There's recognition.
There's great brand value there.
Like instant recognition.
Instant recognition. And Land of the Lost is pretty much instant recognition, except for it's instant recognition of a piece of shit. Mm. And that, thus, why are we dusting this off? I'm glad it died a thousand deaths. And I know there's a version of this, what was there, 21 Jump Street or something, where you just take it, you completely reimagine it and make it into something else. And then I don't even know. But at that point, why does it need to be 21 Jump Street? Right. Why can't it be just a funny cop?
Name recognition.
All right. In Lidsville, the evil magician was Hoodoo, but not the Hoodoo Guru, played by Charles Nelson Reilly, who is, by the way, that's Baldwin's greatest.
Oh,
yeah, he's great.
Kills
Baldwin
with
the actor studio.
James Lipton as Charles Nelson Reilly.
First, I was like,
is Will Ferrell and he at the height of their talents, right?
Absolutely.
All right, so we'll get into that. I have quickly we can show you the clip, before Michael pops up, right? He'll tell me, Chris, when Michael pops up. Michael's Schwimmer's thing is kind of interesting. I talked to August about it sort of in the airport last week. And I'll let him tell the story. But it's sort of a, and I guess we're going this way. If you're like a phenom athlete and you're 15, and he'll give us the details, they will invest in you. And then if you end up going to the show, they will need to get back some of their investment.
It's a reverse mortgage for minor league baseball players.
Yeah, and I think there might be other sports as well, or at least it'll branch out. So we'll get into that.
Oh, now with the new NCAA rules, I imagine it's a wide open playing field, no pun intended.
Oh, we were
right. Like you couldn't pull this off 10 years ago.
We were Chris and Mike and I were over watching the Hook'em Horns play the Crimson Tide, which I was just called the Crims and Tide because I didn't know what the word crimson was.
That begs the question, what is the word crims?
Yeah.
It doesn't, when you're, whether it's song lyrics or a team name, when you're trying to make things work in your head, there's not as much thought that goes into as you thought. I thought the Nebraska Corn Huskers were Corn Hustlers.
Right, because you're just trying to find
what a Husker is.
Any word that sounds familiar. That's why in Little League right now we're teaching the kid boy that it's called an inning and not an ending.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I get that.
When you're a child, or in Adam's case, a little older, your brain's like a game of Plinko, right? And like the words you don't know.
Anything you've heard of.
It's got to fall somewhere.
But you've heard the song Mr. Sandman. What did you think of Crimson and Clover?
Oh.
Tell him that my lonely nights are over.
Crimson.
Or the Joan Jett song that you love so much. Crimson and Clover. Yeah.
Tommy James and the Shandells, I think, did that originally.
The cover. All right.
Michael Schwimmer is up on. There he is. Zooming in. He's the founder and CEO of Big League Advantage. Former MLB relief pitcher. Where'd you play your ball, Michael?
Yeah, I played at UVA in college and then was with the Phillies in the minor leagues for 3 years, got to the major leagues for a couple years, and then got traded to the Blue Jays before I blew my arm out, and that was all she wrote for me.
So this idea or this business, Big League Advantage, give us a kind of quick elevator pitch of how it works.
Sure. So it's an idea I came up with while playing and really seeing how – you know, athletes live, and it's really athletics and entertainment. Really, it's the American dream. I mean, when you're starting off, you're not getting paid much money, and you want to get to the very top where you really go from the Motel 6 to the Ritz-Carlton. And every edge matters, right? I mean, these athletes in minor league baseball, less than 10% of minor leaguers will play one day in the major leagues. And now here we are in the NIL world. It's the same thing with college football players. Less than 10% will play one day in the NFL. Same for college basketball. It's now the minor leagues for the NBA. And so every little edge matters. It's how I got to the major leagues. I certainly wasn't the most talented. I was probably bottom 10 percentile in terms of talent with the Phillies. I was a senior sign. I had $5,000 signing bonus and, you know, kind of said good luck. And so, you know, every edge really matters. And I started this company to give players the opportunity, if and only if they wanted to get extra capital so they can invest in themselves to try to give themselves a little bit better edge and advantage to get to the peak of their profession.
Well, you see all those, not only you hear all the stories of going off, you know, traveling, going out of town, going to baseball camp and football camp and doing all that stuff. Obviously, hotel, airline tickets. I mean, it's not a poor man's sport. And the other thing I keep seeing is these virtual goggles that are advertised on TV. Guys batting, kids batting. I mean, look, we had, you know, when I was a kid and played Little League Baseball, you were lucky if you found someone that just had that weird tee that you could put the ball on and go down and whack it. I used to have to use, I had a couple of home run balls from Little League. I had to put them in play because we had to use my home run balls to play with because I couldn't afford three baseballs.
It's very sandlot of you.
Yes. So I, you know, a little money, a little training, a little travel would have gone a long way.
I'm fascinated in the business model. I have lots of questions. Number one, obviously, I'm guessing that the athletes can do whatever they want with the money you invest in them. I mean, if they want to pay a rent, because, you know, minor league baseball players or college athletes, for example, you know, they're not making much money, if any at all, and they can use the money, I assume, for whatever they want.
That's right. The money, there's, you know, the money is theirs. And so the idea is it's a no risk basis, meaning they don't make it to the top of their profession. They keep all the money. In fact, like legally, they could do a deal with us, get the money and decide, you know what, I want to quit and become a doctor. The money's theirs. There's no strings attached. Now, if they do get to the major leagues or NFL or NBA and they do make $100 million, let's say, and they do a deal for 1% where they get money up front in exchange for 1%, then they only make $99 million. They don't get the full, you know, $100 million. So that's the idea.
That was another question I had was, let's say the athlete goes into another field. I assume the payout you would get is only invested in their professional salary?
Exactly right. So no endorsements, no appearance fees, you know, after baseball, if they want to do media, things like that, it has nothing to do with any of that. So our deals and our contracts are essentially just money coming from teams in that, you know, as a professional.
Would you, or is there a model for your business to get into the endorsement side of it so you could maybe the athletes who might never see a dime from their, you know, the volleyball player, people are going to be Olympians, for example. Granted, that's an even smaller pool, but you could identify the right athletes.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, we're a data analytics company. That's what we do. We have over 40 people working full time here, and we try to model these things out. We feel like we have very unique ways you know, to model out which players are going to make it, which aren't, and at what degree. And so we need that type of, you know, data in order to do that. But we've thought about a lot of different industries, whether it's DJs, musicians, comedians, even, believe it or not, Adam, you know, you can do some analytics there and see, you know, what kind of growth and on Instagram following, how they get their growth, how the shows go, how many people come. There's a lot of different ways you can quantify and try to predict, you know, who's going to make it, who's not. And look, the way our business is structured, we're going to lose money 70-80% of the time. We know that, right? Meaning the athlete or the entertainer or whatever is going to make money the majority of the time. However, we hope, you know, we can make money because, you know, we can only lose 1x. We can only lose what we give a person. And we can make, you know, potentially 50, 100x if we hit the right, you know, person in there. So that's kind of the business model, you know, that we have.
We were talking, this a little bit of a sidebar, Chris will help me, but we were at the Alabama-Texas game, and Mike August was saying to me, you know, the quarterback, who I guess is a freshman, who's starting for UT, that guy should be in high school. And then he said they gave him $1 million, or they gave him $1 million to leave high school. He went to another college. It didn't work out. And then I guess he came to UT, and then one of the guys we're running with who's an expert said, no, it's more like $4 million. Oof, so can you explain that process and how that process works?
That's a totally different process, nothing to do with us. These are these NIL collectives that are going across, you know, all around the country. And basically what happens is, and this is, you know, what's supposed to happen and what's actually happening, right? Colleges aren't supposed to have any say at all in terms of, you know, getting the money and going. And so, you know, you see Tennessee, there's a player that's in high school going to Tennessee that was reported to get $8 million over the course of years and obviously to come to Tennessee. But in the contract, it's creatively written where, you know, he doesn't have to attend the university, right? Which, you know, I guess in theory he could take the money and then not attend, but obviously that won't happen. I think you're going to see something, this massive paradigm shift in college athletics. You know, if I'm a college athlete right now, what I'm doing is I'm playing 1 year as a freshman and then I'm transferring. And after my sophomore year, I'm transferring again. And who's ever going to pay me the most money, right?
Wow.
You know, why wouldn't you do that? Now, this system is brand new right now. It's the wild, wild west out there. There needs to be, in my opinion, a lot more regulation around this. But I also think players should be getting paid more. I think schools should be paying these players. What other industry that, you know, not the people that are in charge of making the money get none of it? Right? These athletes that are bringing 95% of the revenue, these football players, these basketball players, and they get absolutely zero. And now they're saying it's okay with the NIL. To me, I hope it's just the beginning, but I've always been pro athlete and think that athletes should be able to earn just like, you know, they're just like the rest of us in this world. It's a free market. It's capitalism. It's a system we live in the United States. And why shouldn't college athletes be able to, you know, profit just like the rest of us?
Well, the quarterback we're speaking of, Quinn Ewers or something. I think he broke his collarbone in the second quarter somewhere.
That's a pricey injury.
Yeah, that's pricey. I don't know if it's on his throwing side or not. But so back to your business. There must be people submitting things to you like, hey, here, let me show you some video of this phenom 15-year-old center fielder put together a highlight reel. You also must have to go out and scout as well. Is it a combination of both?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I played it. I don't think models are the full end-all, be-all answer. My belief after seeing it from both sides is, you know, I think models should be the base, and then subjectivity, because there's so much that models can't, you know, pick up on. Work ethic, right? Team chemistry. A lot of different types of things that I believe matter. Now, I think a lot of teams are run with eye test first and model second, and I kind of think it should be reversed with model first, then subjectivity on top of that. But Ewers is such a great example. Here's a guy that, you know, we would have a very, you know, extremely high offer. We think the kid's going to be a special player in the NFL. But, you know, unfortunately, sometimes it's difficult to get a hold of players, right, to give them this opportunity if they wanted to do it. And, you know, I think about something that you had on your show, actually a live show, the Boz, right? I mean, he was one of the best college football players that, you know, we've ever seen. And had he done a deal like this, and now, you know, it would happen to him in the NFL with the injuries and all that stuff, maybe he has millions of dollars now, you know, to try to start chapter two of his life, right?
Yeah.
We were around during that time.
I wish so, too, because I had to pay for his Uber ride back to his house after the show. And I wish I could have just pointed at him and said, hey, man, what about all that cash you made in college?
That's right. You know what else is so great about this, just in terms of like kind of the hope that you give young professionals? How many times are it doesn't matter if you're in radio, if you're a social media actor, it doesn't matter. All you hear is get back to us when you could do something for us. You know, when you have everything and you've put 100% sweat equity into it, give it to us. We'll take it from you and, you know, we'll pimp you out. And your model is I see something in you before you do. And I think that's a really kind of fun and interesting way to do this.
Yeah, it's look, we've signed over 450 players so far, and it's just been – it's so cool. I mean, these players are like family. Like, we're with them whether they make it – it's a partnership. It's how we look at it, right? We have so many players that, you know, you can imagine. We have a ton of players that we've invested in that, you know, never made it. But they call me up, hey, Schwimm, you know, I've got two kids with one on the way. I thought I was going to make it. You know, I love baseball. What can you do? And, you know, with our investors – base. And I really have to thank our investor base. They've been so cool about this. And, you know, they understand that it's a family and, you know, we help them find jobs.
Wow.
Right. You know, like all these kinds of things, because they, but now look, we're not going to make a penny from that player. It doesn't matter to us. They're family. Right. And I think generating that relationship is why we've had, you know, such a great reputation and why, you know, players, you know, are excited about these deals.
Now it's interesting, the taking the template and expanding, because that's what happens to every company. So Amazon starts off selling books online, and then they're this, you know, everything,
Netflix.
every company is about just growth and expansion. And yeah, you could have found a young 18-year-old Jewel singing in a coffee house in San Diego and living out of her car and got her an apartment.
How'd you like to live out of a better car?
Yes. You could live out of a Lexus. Yeah. And there's definitely going to be that. I could see that with comedians. I could see with just about, and maybe spread into like, you know, the tech industry, some phenom coder guy at 19 who, you know, is going to take over Facebook in a few short years.
The possibilities are endless. I think this is the way of the future. I mean, I think you look at this compared to like student loans and those interest rates and all that stuff that you have to pay no matter what. And, you know, why not have this? We have this gigantic wealth disparity in this country. Now we have this big group of investors, right, that are willing to take the risk, right? And if they lose money, they lose money, but at least they're changing someone's life, right? I mean, and it can help you succeed. I think it's a win-win, Adam. You know, what if we came to you and you were 25 waiting tables, and now you could focus on your comedy career? Maybe you get started a lot earlier. Maybe you get success a lot earlier. Maybe you make more money, and now we're all part of it together. Yeah, that's kind of what at least the idea is.
Yeah, you could have got my teeth whitened, could have taught me how to walk with the proper posture
with
and elocution.
That's right.
I would have preferred you got hold of me when I was 17 and sponsored me as a carpet cleaner, because I had a lot of potential
working
that wand. Yeah, Brian, what were you saying?
Speaking of risk, I imagine you can't get into the business dealing specifics, but are there times or are there things written in your contracts where certain things will disqualify or
no motorcycle
negate a deal? Yeah, if someone gets busted. Nope. Really? If someone gets arrested, absolutely. Convicted of a crime?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We do our due diligence beforehand. So, yeah, this is where we have, you know, we've been super fortunate enough to where teams in the NFL, NBA, and MLB, they're, you know, calling us all the time about information. You know, hey, who do I trade the trade deadline? All this type of stuff. We actually have relationships with the NFL team. You know, our models have been so predictive. You know, far, you know, our models in the NFL and the NBA are more predictive than the actual draft order. So you would assume like the player one is better than player two and so on. But our models, it's not no team's fault, right? They don't have this nearly the budget that we have. They hire a couple data scientists. We have 40 plus people working full time. So we're able to do this, you know, on a full time basis. And so they help us, we help them. And that's kind of our basis there. Now, so that therefore we get information, hey, you know, this player was, you know, accused of a domestic abuse thing. I'm not going to invest in that player. That to me, that's not.
But what if he can? What if he can really kick?
You know, it's something we just don't cross that line. Now, obviously, there's going to be things that go underneath, or there's going to be players we invest in that could have issues down the road. You know, that we can't foresee, and that's unfortunately just, you know, the nature of it. We can't be perfect, but we do try to do our best.
What is the average age of the athlete you invest in?
So it's about 20 to 21. We won't invest in anybody under the age of 18. So they must be 18 or over. And, you know, it goes, we've invested in a 28-year-old before. So it runs the gamut, but the average is in that 20 to 21-year-old range.
Yeah, well, we're definitely getting it. Look, if you saw – you're not dipping that low, but if you saw LeBron James at 15, you know there was something something there.
Do you invest in, do you invest in coaches?
It's something we are very much looking into. In fact, we have these models. So we have a player level models and team level models, and what we can do with coaches, what we've tried to figure out is, okay, if these, let's call it tight ends, these tight ends on our player level models aren't very good and they're producing tremendously. Well, to us, that means that's good coaching, right? Mm-hmm. Versus you would think like a good quarterback coach is the coach that coached Tom Brady. Well, or is it because he has Tom Brady?
Yeah, he didn't need it.
Coaching. I want to see if all of a sudden Mitch Trubisky has the best year of his life. That's the coach I want because, you know, previously it hasn't been that great. And now someone can turn him around. That to us is a good sign of a coach. And so we can use our models to evaluate coaching at that level. And we are actively considering that as a next step.
Wow. So I think what they're working on is young athletes, aging female broadcasters,
yeah.
And then possibly venturing out into other forms of entertainment.
I can see that being a windfall.
Yeah.
Wow. It's pretty limitless. I mean, and sort of endless in terms of what directions you could go with this.
Anything you can do to be successful. You could, doctors, you know, anyone in the medical field.
But I think Michael's point is really well taken, which is we're thinking like governmentally and politically, we think sort of like in this weird concrete and very old way of thinking, which is, you know, this guy's got money. Why doesn't he kick it down to the poor mom and stuff like that? But I like when innovation in tech like takes care of this stuff. This, like, here's the problem with the governmental model. The governmental model is the old guys who have the money pay shitload in taxes and don't want to pay anymore and have lobbyists and go offshore and stuff like that. You have to get people interested in making money who will invest, which then benefits the poor person, but they're not handcuffed by the government. They willingly do this to try to make themselves richer. Like they have to be incentivized, and we don't do that. We're like, do the right thing. Pay your fair share. No, I'm not. I want to keep as much money as I can. But when you can get rich guys to start writing checks for poor guys because they think that might make them richer, then that's a system that works.
Yeah, it's still a meritocracy.
Absolutely. You look at every entrepreneur in the world. Steve Jobs didn't start off rich. Jeff Bezos didn't start off rich, right? But what do? They got money from investors. And in exchange for that money, they give up a future share of their earnings in that area. It just happens in every, you know, aspect of life on that side of it. But we don't dig down to really believe in as many human beings as I think we should. And I don't think not enough people are given that opportunity and given that chance. And I hope, you know, we're in sports right now. We're only 5 years into this company. But, you know, as we expand, I hope other companies get into the space. You know, it's one of those things. I think it's such a great thing for people that, you know, we encourage other companies, other groups to really kind of come in and help out, because I think it's something that just will help people in general.
This is so freaking innovative.
There's no way that's true.
What do
come
you mean?
Come on in. Get in my business.
Yeah, but there's enough for everybody. There's 7 billion people.
I wish we had the time. Look, if we had the time to do it all, then maybe, but we just don't, right? So, like, I mean, the more mainstream this becomes, the better I think it is for everybody.
That's true.
Well, it's a very interesting, innovative venture, and I'm impressed, and I like it, you know, whether – it is, you know, entrepreneurs working on greenhouse gases or the folks that are underprivileged getting a piece of the pie. I want to take it away from the government and I want to give it to entrepreneurs. Michael Schwimmer, thank you so much for joining us and catching us up on this very interesting endeavor. I'll tell people bigleagueadvantage.com is where you can go if you want to find out any information about this endeavor. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
All right. Yes.
In the world of, like, warmed over movie plots and, like, you know, the only musicals besides Hamilton are, you know, they only care about, oh, Legally Blonde, but now it's the musical. Doesn't it feel so good to have a completely out of the blue sky new idea to hear about it being successful?
I agree. And it's also one of these things that always kind of drives me nuts, which is, you know, none of us know this business. We're not engaged in this business. We're not even connected to it in any way. But when you hear an idea that makes sense, you go, oh, okay.
Like,
and you ask a few questions. You go, oh, that's how it works. And then you go, all right, that seems like we could get a few folks who need some money they need. And not only money they need, but they may not make it to the next level without the proper nutrition and training and things that other people may have.
Right.
And then it narrows that gap. Again, you know, if you want to figure out, hey, how do we narrow the gap between the haves and the have-nots, reparations don't really do it. Anything where you go, here's a check, stay home, that doesn't work. This does work. And incentivizes the athlete to take care of themselves, to not get involved with certain things they might want to get involved with, drugs or crime or whatever.
And when you think about, like, an agent, like, hey, I don't want him taking 10%. Well, would you rather keep 100% of nothing? So it's like it really sounds like a win-win.
All right. We'll hit a spot here, namely Simply Safe. Nothing matters more than your safety and the safety of your loved ones. But old school home security companies use outdated technology, overcharge you, and lock you into a multi-year contract. That's why I use Simply Safe. Peel and stick, get the stuff up and running in under an hour. Order what you need, how many sensors, how many doors, how many windows you need. 24/7 professional monitoring. Simply Safe's agents dispatch police or first responders the moment a threat is detected, even if you're not home or cannot be reached. Customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes. It's simplysafe.com/Adam. Save 20% when you sign up for interactive monitoring plan, and you can get your first month for free. Go to Simply Safe. Just visit simplysafe.com/Adam to learn more. That is simplysafe.com/Adam. There's no safe like Simply Safe. All right. We got a hypothetical sexual question, which I always enjoy waiting. We'll take a quick break. We'll talk to Dan right after this. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
You thought it was Alfred, but it's not. I just had a chance to use the term whip five on myself with a lovely young lady, and she enjoyed it. Thanks, man.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Whip five on yourself. By the way, that was not, whipping five on yourself was not part of the zeitgeist back then.
It.
You know, it was like spanking the monkey and stuff like
that's
that.
That's what makes him a genius.
That's why. One of the greatest orators since Abe Lincoln, the great Bobby Hollander. All right. Well, speaking of Bobby Hollander, Dan, 49 from Florida, has a hypothetical sexual situation.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guy.
When you guys did the would you rather 1-7 or two girls who are combined 10, I spent weeks on that. So I loved it.
Thank you.
I came up with a slight variation, which I found funny.
Now, was that, I think the combined number, we went to 11.
We bumped it up a little, yeah.
We went to an 11.
Oh.
And
same principle. It's important.
Yes. And then there was the one, was it 7? I think it was higher.
I thought it was
10.
An 8 or a combined like 12.
Chris will look it up. It's written in a book somewhere. I don't know. It's somewhere. But yes, I got it. Mm-hmm.
So I have a variation that I've been talking about, and my wife wants to shoot me for even bringing it up, I keep giggling. So would you? What would be preferable? One girl who's a 4. Or a 10, but Admiral Levine is in the room.
Admiral Levine is in
Admiral
the room.
Levine.
Admiral Levine.
Is just in the room, like cock style?
Yeah, just there. Is he an eye shot? I mean, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And people have to look
up
Admiral Levine, but... You know? Yeah, that's a boner killer right there.
Well, do you have to look at her? What I'm saying is, like, did you just know she's there?
Admiral Levine, well, first off, Admiral Levine, who was a boy who became a girl but still has the boy junk, I don't believe she's in any position to judge.
Oh.
You know what I mean? No. I don't feel like she's sitting there with a raised eyebrow, like the church lady
she's
or
not
something.
Snickering.
Yeah, ooh, so
precious.
I don't think
what
so.
Isn't that special?
Yeah, I just don't think she's a judger.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if I'd be able to provide reading material for her.
Yeah.
I would, I might adjust the position a little bit.
That's what I'm saying. Can you throw a blanket over her like she's a chair?
Right. No, come on.
Like a canary?
That's a hate crime.
That's not a reasonable question.
If she remains silent, I think so.
Now, is she doing play-by-play or color commentary?
Or has to sing the dreidel song?
Right.
You could give her like a workbook. I mean, you know, something she could, you know, Mad Libs, something she could do to keep her busy.
That's fine. Yeah.
Like one of those adult coloring books?
Sure.
Yeah, and then the other would be, do you say a 4?
Alone with a 4.
I think you got to raise the 4 up. I think between the 10 and the 4.
Yeah, I think everyone's going
with 10. Can look the other way on the Admiral.
Yeah.
I think you'd have to get the 4 up to like a 6.
Otherwise, this is very transphobic.
But I mean, I can put it to the people. Chris, Dawson, Admiral...
Not really disturbed by the admiral there.
Yeah.
Now more the merrier.
More fun. Exhibition.
Right. Hey,
yeah, go ahead.
Can you hand that to me?
Hang out.
Check out how I do things.
All right. So the
beer in the fridge, bro.
Jesus.
All right. Chris, the admiral in the room.
I feel weird saying this, but I'm with Dawson. I'm okay with the admiral in the room.
You are with a 10, but if we could bump that lower number up to an 8, you may just go, I'll go straight 8 without the Admiral.
See, well, yeah, I prefer the Admiral.
Is that the question, an 8 with or without the Admiral?
No, that's not the question. We're bumping the 4 up to an 8.
I understand that, but the way you just said it, it made it sound like that was the question.
Yes, well, look, there's context, and I try not to
don't get marred in the details.
The syllables. What I'm saying is the 4's got to be bumped up.
So that's, 6.
You might have to get to a 7, 7 and a half.
Yeah.
Because 4 is a no-brainer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And is the admiral there? She's the U.S. Assistant Secretary for Health. Is she there in any official capacity? You know what I mean? Like, why aren't you wearing a condom? Yeah, Did you wash your hands?
Have you gotten your booster?
Like the like the choreographers that are on set for the sex scenes in a movie. That's a thing now.
Oh, in a film, like not in a porn movie. Right. Or the choreographers?
Whatever they're called.
I get it. She's there on a off day.
This is her time.
Yeah.
But uniformed.
Yeah. Uniformed, for sure.
I think that helps.
You always don the uniform. All right, so now we bring it up to an 8. Dawson, Admiral, 10. No Admiral
still
8.
Doesn't bother me.
Doesn't bother you.
You know, I think I'll just, if 8 and a 10, let's go 10. Let's go big, Admiral.
I think he prefers the Admiral.
Hang out.
Chris?
I'll do the 8.
Yeah, I was thinking of the 8 at that point, too. Yeah.
The 8's a no-brainer, Adam. I mean, I'm a 49-year-old bald man. The 8 would be a no-brainer if I don't have
to deal with that. It's not a no-brainer for Dawson. He's
go for the 10.
Yeah.
How many shots you get at a 10?
Yeah.
With an admiral in the room?
Yeah,
it's official.
Come on.
With a witness.
That's right.
Because, you know, no offense, Dawson, but if you just tell your drinking buddies, guess who was with a 10, they're like, get the fuck out of here. But if you have the admiral...
stood at attention.
In an official capacity.
A decorated admiral who would verify your statement.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like
I'm the tomb of the unknown soldier.
That's there right.
Next game, Never Have I Ever, is going to be dominated by you.
Right.
All right, Dan. I think the consensus is you got to bring that 4 up.
To make it a debate, you mean?
Yeah.
I guess.
4 is a more interesting.
For me, if it's a 6 or above, I'm going with the 6 or above. 4, I would go with I would grin and bear the admiral.
Dan's kind of getting at what I was going to say, which is a 7 with the admiral or a 4. But I mean, either way, we're bringing them closer together. That's really the point.
Yeah, I think the book, and I think I've modified this. The book says one person that's an 8 or 2 that are combined 10, but I think we go 2 that are combined 11,
right.
Something like that,
and then it gets interesting. Well, thanks, Dan. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the thought.
Thought provoking.
I love you guys.
Love you, man. All right. Let's see. We have Chris went and pulled the clip of me saying what car the woman's father drove.
Oh, the Chevelle?
From the stage, right. Yes, in Austin. And nobody really caring. Just always.
And she loves fast cars in football. But she could just be saying that because I've had a lot of people go, oh, I love cars. They don't know shit about cars. That's just the thing they say. And they love football, but they don't know shit about football. But we'll quiz her. We'll figure out what Crystal knows about fast cars and football. Now, I can guarantee the fast car, okay, on prediction, her dad had a Chevelle back in the day, or an El Camino. Those are the two shit cars I run. Hey, Crystal.
Hello.
Hey, girl.
Hello.
You like fast cars and football?
Of course I do.
Why do you like, what's your favorite fast car?
Well, my dad had a 67 Chevelle
I fucking told you. God damn it.
It's funny, too, because her...
The fucking center dad had a Chevelle.
I just asked her what she liked about cars, and she went into her dad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And no standing ovation. Not even a attaboy.
Oh, they were over it as soon as it left her lips.
I can commiserate with you. As of this morning, this happened to me, and I thought, oh, my God, this is what he's talking
what
about.
What else was I right about?
So I, a dear, a wonderful person over at KFI, Shannon Farron, does the Gary and Shannon show every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess she's in Kansas. How dare you? So there, she's in Kansas City because she also does Rams coverage. Mm. And she just posted an Instagram story that just said...
Wait, Rams coverage?
Chargers are playing the Chiefs tonight.
Thank you, Chargers. That's what I meant. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
And she just posted a picture, which I'll show you. It just says KC. And it was just a table that you can hardly see, like a plate and a couple bowls. That's all you can see. I private DM'd her and said, which barbecue did you go to? That's my town. I'm guessing Jack Stack by the look of the table. Now, you can hardly see the table.
Very small.
Her answer, yep.
That's it?
That's it. So I said, I'm sorry, but for a place I haven't lived in 20 years, how impressive was that? Finally, I got my very. But that, I haven't been to Jack Stack since I was a teenager.
Yes.
And it was just a thumbnail.
We've been everywhere.
Just a plate.
We've never been to that place. Yes, yeah, she should have given it up to you.
I love her though.
All right. In semi-local news, somebody tweeted me that our own Governor Gavin Newsom is going to finally do something about the crazed homeless population.
Oh, thank God.
And, well, Dawson will give us a heads up. But essentially, the plan of you would like shelter and you would like food, that's pretty easy to get someone off the street because you want what I'm selling.
Right.
You're cold. You have no roof above your head, and you're hungry. So I will give you a place that has a roof and has beans, and you will follow me. But it does not work for the crazed or the junkies or the both because they're not interested in the roof and the beans. They want the drugs or they're psychotic. So at some point, this must be factored in. It's the assumption that all who are homeless want to get off of the street is a very flawed assumption if you look around. But there's a new... I don't know. Is it a new bill he wants to pass?
Oh.
Yeah. Won't go into effect until next year. California Governor Ocasio's mental health courts for homeless, with more than 100,000 people living on California streets. Governor Gavin Newsom signed a first-of-its-kind law on Wednesday that could force some of them into treatment as a part of the program he describes as CARE, but opponents argue is cruel.
Opponents.
Wait, we should just call this the Dr. Drew bill, because isn't this what he asked for?
Yes. Well, I mean, yes. He's now getting into the true face of the homelessness, the true story, the real face of homelessness in Los Angeles and California. Sorry.
Newsom signed the Community Assistance Recovery and Empowerment Act. It would let family members, first responders, and others ask a judge to draw up a treatment plan for someone diagnosed with certain disorders, including schizophrenia. Those who refuse could be placed under a conservatorship and ordered to comply. Right now, homeless people.
First off,
that's exactly what Drew said.
I don't like the acronym shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the reason I don't like it is because it feels like you spent a little too much time and you're trying to look. I don't like the inflation reduction bill because you're euphemistically calling it something that it's not doing. And now I worry.
Right.
Like, I wonder, what are you really doing? I would do a bill that just spelled out felch. And then people go, you know what that spells? I go, that's how good this bill is.
Yeah. Right. Like Smuckers.
Smuckers of bill. So fucking confident I am. I don't euphemistically need to put some acronym together. Yep. Sorry, go ahead.
Right now, homeless people with severe mental health disorders bounce from the streets to jails and hospitals. They can be held against their will at a psychiatric hospital for up to 3 days. But they must be released if they promise to take medication and follow up with other services. The new law would let a court order a treatment plan for up to 1 year, which could be extended for a second year.
The point is 9 years ago we sat in here and I told him who the homeless were, and he explained to me not only was he numero uno in this subject, this is what he cared about the most, but there was another homeless group. And it's 40 seconds. We have to hear it again because this is him.
That was my issue, homelessness, and my passionate efforts
to
deal with homeless.
That's an
issue that no one cares about in this country. I care deeply.
Well, listen, the thing about homeless people is they're either junkies or they're crazy or they're both. This notion of, like, the guy's a hard-working, God-fearing family member who lost his job and now had to take to the streets is total and utter bullshit.
Yeah, but what about the picture of real homelessness, which
real.
Is a poor mom with two kids with a husband who took off and left her, who's sitting there struggling on that minimum wage job, and all of a sudden now is out in the streets and sidewalks desperately trying to find
that's not the real face. That's nothing. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. And now you know it doesn't exist. Unfortunately, we had to wait several years. But that person that he described as the true face of homelessness does not exist. So that person, the full-time minimum wage mother with the three kids, is living in her aunt's house in some other part of the country. Mm-hmm. Or is on somebody's sofa riding it out. That's what that person is doing.
And we're in L.A. every day. That's not something I've seen.
No, well, think about just any kind of statistically significant.
Right.
Way.
Think about the concept of sleeping on pavement in one of those areas, one of those trash heaps we've seen underneath the freeway off ramp or something. Think about the notion of doing that sober. Like, let's say there were no drugs. I've slept in a driveway. Oh, yes.
Slept.
I was in high school. I was drunk. I was overserved by my buddy who lived up the street.
I passed out in a garage.
I slept on sand in Tijuana. I slept in an alley in Tijuana. And I slept on a box ring behind a party in an alley once many years ago.
Stone cold sober, right?
Will not even on a boat.
But what sober person says, now I think I shall catch some Z's. Let me lay my head down on a pine cone and pull up the sports page.
Take up some of my permanent residence on this corner.
Don't mind that rat or those roaches.
Yeah.
I'll just go to bed for the evening sleeping on a slab of concrete with gum stuck to it. It's unthinkable. It doesn't exist.
Right.
So at least we understand part of that now. I never knew why there was such a battle. And by the way, you don't need to be Nostradamus. You just drive around. It was 10 years ago, I said to Gavin Newsom, it's junkies and it's crazy people. Those are the people. You got to then approach it to that problem because you're building miniature houses and stuff. That's not right. Yeah. That's not what they want.
Well, and then again, to flip it even another direction, you're saying that by saying they don't exist, they don't matter. We don't see them.
Right.
They don't count as people. So who are you helping?
And Dr. Drew could have been on the city council two years ago. We're doing this, but they would have none of it. And then, of course, the LA Times has to do a hit piece on Dr. Drew. I get the LA Times. Like, I get you're progressive and you're left leaning. What does letting people, junkies, expire in the street have to do with being Democratic or left leaning?
Don't you want to help people?
Souls are perishing in the street. Why can't you be for that?
Don't they deserve a second shot at life?
No, we don't like Dr. Drew. So blah, 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 blah. Okay. Yes. All right.
You know what the silver lining is? Gavin Newsom's a smart politician. He knows which way the wind blows. This would have been impossible 5 years ago even, recently. And the fact that he feels brave enough to promote this as a bill or to oppose us or whatever, it feels like the tide is turning in the right direction.
Yeah, because you can only step over so many homeless people before you get the public on your side. But the other side is these super loud homeless advocates who want people to languish in the streets. Oh, yes, he has autonomy. He can shit wherever he wants and slam as much heroin as he wants. Like,
but is he free?
We should have never listened to the home. There were 8 homeless advocates. We should have never listened to them, who, by the way, anointed themselves experts on the homeless. I don't even know how they became experts on the homeless. By the way, if in fact you were a homeless person for a bit of time, that doesn't make you an expert on homelessness. It makes you an ex-junkie. Because all you have to do is interview anyone who was homeless and they tell you about how they struggled with drugs.
Right.
So is a picture starting to emerge? I don't talk to ex-homeless people that worked full-time minimum wage jobs and got divorced.
My hunch is that these people get away with it by calling themselves advocates as opposed to experts, because then they get away with spouting any amount of bullshit.
Right. All right.
It also should be said that I did say that this doesn't start until next year, but next year, by October, it would only start in 7 counties. That's Glen, Orange, Riverside, San Diego, San Francisco, Stanislaus, and Tuolumne counties. All other counties, including Los Angeles County, have until December 1st, 2024.
What? We're the only county that really needs it.
I know. And it's going to get worse between now and then. All right. Let me tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, unless you're homeless. You work hard. And you know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to worry about around your home. So go to geico.com and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. All right, Sid Croft.
Oh, yay!
A meeting by a destiny.
Yeah.
It started in 1974. And in a few short moments, we shall talk to Sid Croft of Sid and Marty Croft. And we'll do that right after this.
Saddle up and get ready for Westerns Weeks on Pluto TV, all for free. We're coming in blazing with favorites like True Grit and Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Or immerse yourself in binge-worthy series like Yellowstone and Walker, Texas Ranger. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. The best part? It's free. No credit card, no sign-up, no fees. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now.